Welcome to a new edition of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. As always, I am your host, Junkyard James, and with me, like always, the man with the marvelous sauce, Cody Marinara. How are you doing on this fine Thursday evening?
It's cold as hell. Apparently we're getting snow and ice tomorrow. That's going to be great. This may be the last podcast ever, depending on how far of a drive I have. Other than that, doing good, sir. It's playoff weekend, not just for the NFL, college football as well. Got the Orange Bowl going on as we are live. And as you can see, I'm decked out in my Commander's gear. First time we made the playoffs in 4 years. First time under the new name. It only took 3 years under the new name to get to the playoffs. So, hey, listen, even if we lose this weekend, it's been a hell of a year. But so I had to show the support. How are you doing, sir?
It's been a pretty good week so far. Been a little busy. This is the first week I've had to work a 5-day work week and 3 weeks. So four weeks. I think I've had a day off, a day out of my schedule off about 3 weeks in a row now, 4 weeks in a row now. So adjusting to having to work 5 days a week because tomorrow is Friday. Other than that, it's a good day. Not looking forward to the monsoon of ice that we're going to get. I get to work from home because my company said, we're not going to let you risk it. So they forced us to work from home tomorrow. So,
lucky you.
Yes, sir. Though we could have it worse. Thoughts and prayers go out to those in Los Angeles right now, dealing with the cluster of a disaster that's going on with the wildfires there. Hopefully they can rein in the fires there. And I hope everyone, or as many, get out as safely as possible. It's quite literally insane that same area this Monday was where Monday Night Raw was held live from the Intuit Dome in LA for the debut episode of Netflix on Netflix. And we'll talk all about that in the main part of this show. Our thoughts, the good, if there was any, the bad, if there was any, and just the everything in between about the Netflix debut. Join us in the chat and we can have a good conversation about Monday Night Raw. Speaking of WWE, we're heading into WrestleMania season. And I might have to start playing the rap on the video again from last year. Go to the link in our description, WWE Shop, and get you some merchandise using our link and help support the podcast. Go to this beautiful website in the bottom left corner of the screen, beyondthejunkyard.com, and get you a Beyond the Junkyard shirt. Help support the podcast that way. All the other affiliate links and stuff are in the show notes or the description in the bottom there. But before we get to Raw, I thought this isn't the Beyond the Junkyard podcast if we don't talk a little bit about AEW. And Collision was last night. I thought it was actually a pretty solid episode of Dynamite last night. We had a new commentary team that I actually thoroughly enjoyed. Some pretty good wrestling. And I have a theory, and I want to get your opinion on this, that Will Ospreay is setting to rebuild the United Empire that Kyle Fletcher destroyed. And I think Buddy Matthews and Brody King will play a major piece in teaming and forming this new stable. This obviously comes with the rumors that Malachi Black is seemingly done with AEW. His contract has, from all knowledge known, has expired. And so I'm not the biggest fan of just moving people from one stable to the next. But Ospreay and Buddy Matthews and Brody King would be a pretty unbeatable trios team. So thoughts on this? Is the United Empire getting retooled?
You know, that's a good point. I mean, Mark Davis really hasn't been a part of the scene here for a little while. And I feel like, didn't he come back just a month or two ago? And he's pretty much been doing nothing ever since. I wonder if they're saving that for the Grand Slam Australia show. I don't know. At the same time, it's like, okay, well, what are we doing with Ospreay? I mean, are we just going to throw him into a trios? Are we just, I mean, it's kind of convoluted as to what exactly is going to go on with that. I wouldn't be against it. I think Buddy Matthews has a lot to give. Great talent in the ring. We just don't see a lot of them, and it's just a stop and start stuff with him. Brody King has gotten quite a bit of exposure here with the Continental Classic, as well as premiering at Wrestle Dynasty this past weekend too. And I feel like he's slowly one of these bigger names in AEW, but we're just not doing a whole lot with him. He's just a part of a bunch of these events, and it's great, but it's like, I need some more credibility with him as far as either a title or just a solid push to be as a top of the mid card type of talent. Putting them together as a trios with Ospreay would be cool. if Malachi is on his way out, I kind of hate that. But if anything, I'm going to fault Tony Khan more so than anything, because I feel Malachi should have been a world champion. I feel there was a lot of missed opportunities with him and the character and the gimmick. The House of Black, they've had too much of a stop and start with them. They had a good solid push here and there, trios champions, and then, you know, in some prominent feuds, but just never had a consistent, like an MJF, like a Swerve, where we're consistent all the way through and you know, keeping them as a main act. But I think that it would be good for Brody and Buddy to do something. Be kind of weird going from the House of Black to something quite different with a United Empire type of thing. But it was interesting how at the end of the show last night, when Ospreay came to save Omega, he was wearing a United Empire shirt. So I wonder if he's going to try to get a faction with Brody, Buddy, and even Kenny. I don't know. Setting up for an interesting next few weeks and months. Not only leading into Revolution, but out of Revolution to kind of see what's going to happen with everything. I don't know. It's interesting to kind of see what's going to happen there. I feel like we've got some, I don't want to say confusing situations, but we've got some intriguing situations that I'm not ready to put the cart in front of the horse and say, I don't get it. I want to let it play out for the next couple of weeks. But yeah, I thought overall it was a very good episode of Dynamite last night and kind of showcased what AEW does well. And as we get into the Raw review, I'll have one motto that kind of sums up between WWE and AEW as a whole. We'll get to that in just a little bit, though.
Yeah, absolutely. The House of Black, I kind of agree with you there. They really miss an opportunity with Malachi to put the TNT title on him back in 2021, I think it was. And it's been an injury infested group there. If somebody's not hurt in that group, then it's a miracle. And you've kind of seen the slow destruction of the House of Black. I don't even know if Julia Hart has even, she's been back for a while, and I don't even know if she's interacted with the House of Black since coming back. She has the same character, but very little interaction with the House of Black. And so I wonder what they do with Julia Hart going forward, and Buddy and Brody and Malachi. He's a really good wrestler, and he's just kind of on the back end of his career. And so I don't know if he could go back to NXT or WWE, but I don't think he'd be a main card act there either. So I don't know what this means for Malachi Black, but if this is the end, there's been opportunities that were squandered for him. And I wish that there was a couple stories were told a little bit differently, and that he had a little bit more of a championship infused run in AEW. But to the contrary, it seems like January of every year, they say Malachi Black is leaving and he ends up staying. So who knows? Maybe this is just dirt sheets trying to start mess again. So I guess we'll have to keep it until it's official, I guess. It's just a rumor and innuendo, as Conrad would say. Speaking of Conrad and Eric Bischoff, did you see Eric Bischoff is showing back up in MLW in a couple weeks?
I did not. That's very interesting. I guess the Eric Bischoff one night show or whatever did well enough to where they want to bring him back in, I suppose. So are they bringing him in for Super Fight or something different?
I can't remember which show it is. Let me pull it up here real quick. It is Kings at the Coliseum, I think, is what it is. Kings at the Coliseum.
It's like one of their bigger events, isn't it?
Yeah, it's at the North Richland, Texas Sports Center, January the 11th. I think they were saying that they've almost sold out the arena. I don't know what that means, if they sold out just what they had available or the actual arena is a sold out. It's a sponsored event with CMLL, which is weird that Bischoff would work with a company that is affiliated with AEW, with as much as he hates AEW. Matt Riddle's on the show. Kenta's on the show. That's a pretty good card. Atlantis Jr.'s on the show. There's that. Eric Bischoff is back in pro wrestling, I guess. I guess the Blue Chew ads were not paying the bills for him. Or they've moved on, because it seems like Blue Chew has blown up and all the content creators are promoting him now. But let's get to the Monday Night Raw this week. I guess my main question is, when's the last time you watched a full Monday Night Raw?
It's been probably, I don't even think I watched the full like Raw after Mania last year. It's probably been at least 2 years. I would say safely probably at least a good 2 years.
So for me, I've watched bits and pieces throughout the last couple of years. And here recently, I've watched more of it. I kind of know some of what's going on. But I haven't watched like as intently as I would a Dynamite in probably since AEW was created, I would say, like 5 or 6 years ago. Being fully intentive on watching the show. And I decided, all right, we're showing Netflix. Let's see what this new era of WWE is going to bring. And I don't know how you felt about it. I don't know your full thoughts. And I've said a few things in some group chats that we're in, but I haven't shared really the kind of the full depth of how I felt about that show. I kind of felt like it was just a mid just another day at the office, nothing really special kind of episode of Monday Night Raw. But I know you were saving your thoughts for this podcast. And so before I give you my part, my thoughts, I'm going to let you have the floor, my friend, and share what you got to say in your review of Monday Night Raw. That's weird.
Sorry. Yeah, I need to switch over to my hotspot. I think my side was just freezing up a little bit, so I wanted to make sure I had enough decent signal to continue on with the show. I don't know where you left that, but continue with where you were at.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, I don't know what your thoughts are on Monday Night Raw. I don't know. I've shared a little bit of my thoughts, but I'm going to let you have the floor. I'm going to let you open. I know you took some notes. You have some thoughts that you want to share about Monday Night Raw, and I have some too. I'll finish because I think you'll have probably more intelligently put together review of Monday Night Raw. So the floor is yours. How did you see Monday Night Raw this week?
So I took into, I'm glad that we waited until Thursday. And obviously we wait until Thursday to do our shows anyways, but I'm glad we didn't do any sort of like, you know, immediately Raw reaction Monday night, or even did a Tuesday or Wednesday show. More so because I wanted to get a gauge as about a bunch of different takes and different people's opinions as much as I could, while also collecting mine and just kind of seeing where everybody kind of stood with everything. And so for the first time in probably a good year and a half, I actually listened to the Busted Open radio, Busted Open show Tuesday morning to recap Raw. And I was actually kind of surprised because I feel like Busted Open was a WWE pro show, and I didn't really vibe with most of the acts and what they were talking about. I was pleasantly surprised that they gave a really good take of Raw, both pro and cons, everything in between. It was La Greca and Bully Ray, and I just thought that it was a really well put together show, and it actually kind of made me go back and kind of forget most of the highlights for Raw again, and come up with what I have a list of here. The biggest thing that I want to take away from Raw is two big points, and I have a bunch of things in the middle. So I'm going to kind of give my two biggest thoughts, and I'm going to bring it back over to you to kind of let you have your side of it. And then maybe I'll kind of fill in the rest of my type of things. We can kind of have a little bit of a back and forth here. So my biggest takeaways was production was fantastic. It's WWE. They are going to be the leader in the sports entertainment game as far as the production, and they outdid themselves on Monday. The drone shots coming from outside the arena into a dome live, and it wasn't like a pre-tape thing. That was really cool. Doing it for Jey Uso's entrance was awesome. They definitely made him feel like a main event type of star with his interaction with Travis Scott, the entrance, the crowd going crazy. They made him do it. They did a really good job with that. So the production side of things was fantastic. And going along with that, the Intuit Dome was the perfect location for this show. With as new as it is, the technology that it has inside the arena, and just the newness in the way that it looks. It looks almost like a mini SoFi Stadium with the way that arena is laid out. And I thought it was a perfect location for them. They intertwined so well together from a production standpoint, and the look of the arena, the look and the feel of the crowd really made it feel very big. For 17,000 people, it made it seem like there was a lot more than what was inside the arena. So I give credit to WWE, give credit to the Intuit Dome, all that aligned hand in hand. It was so, so good. My second biggest takeaway before I kind of get into the nitty gritty other things, and like I said, I'm going to save this point and I'm going to give it back to you. Coming out of Raw, I feel WWE did a horrible job at promoting, advertising, showcasing their world champion. When the first appearance of Cody Rhodes happens in the first 15 minutes of the show, he's sitting, I guess, front row. It's almost behind the announcers. It's not as if he's front row camera side, hard cam. It's front row near the announcers. And we get a little nameplate of, oh, yeah, that's the world champion, by the way. The Rock's in the ring. He's not a full-time wrestler. He's part owner of the company. Uh-oh. What just happened? Okay. All right. That was weird. My computer just kind of glitched on me there. I don't know what's going on. My video's going crazy. I don't know what happened. I may have to refresh again. I'm going to say this quick point, and then I'm going to refresh my computer. We got Cody in the crowd. Rock kind of, you know, gives him a good – he's been great for the company over the last year. This and that. Hey, don't forget, I tell Mama Rose to say hi. Little side jab there. And then we see him the next segment with his theme music. He runs down in the Bloodline match between Roman and Solo. And that's all we see of Cody for the rest of the night. That, to me, is a pretty bad job of promoting and showcasing your world champion. He doesn't even get his big entrance with the crowd going crazy, singing along to the song, the pyro, the championship belt. It was almost as if he's not the world champion. Like, I just feel we did a really bad job.
Well, I'll do you one more on that point. Cody's not even the he's not even the Raw champion. Got him back on here. I was going to say, I'll do you one more on that point about Cody Rhodes. Cody's not even the Raw champion. Gunther is the Raw champion.
Yeah.
And all Gunther got was a promo package. He wasn't even in the arena. So, yeah, their promotion of their champions, or their world champions, probably could have been a little bit better there. I know you said you're going to throw it back to me. I'll take my few takeaways of this show were, I thought it flat out sucked. Like, I watched because it was on Netflix, and I wanted to see John Cena, and he was there. I wanted to see, they built so perfectly a pay-per-view quality card. I wanted to see, could they actually execute a really good episode of Raw? And to me, this was more the Rock and WWE giving the Netflix executives the five knuckle shuffle, because the entire night, almost to the point that it was vomit inducing, every promo started with, we got to thank Netflix for this opportunity. And they showed the goofy white executives that obviously don't give a damn about the wrestling. They only are there because they know this is a good opportunity to make some money from the WWE. And it felt to me like the biggest reason they were there was not to entertain the crowd per se, but it was just a way to flaunt that they made it to Netflix. And the cringiest part was when The Rock came out and did his promo at the beginning, and it wasn't the final boss, it was the Yes Man executive that came out to do his introductory promo. And he was telling the crowd that it was the largest gate for a Raw or for an event And WWE history, I think it was for a Monday Night Raw, the largest Monday Night Raw gate in the history of WWE. And the crowd just mindlessly cheered, not understanding that it wasn't like they didn't have crowds of 17,000 back in the 90s. They just had to pay $500 for the ticket to watch that show for nosebleed seats. So, yeah, they got the biggest gate because they were charging astronomical pricing to get into that arena. And so it almost felt to me that WWE didn't think that the fans that were watching, like, they were just going to mindlessly watch and not see through the bullcrap that they were trying to tell us on the screen. And then my second point was, this was the best opportunity that WWE had, because I know several people who exclusively watch AEW simply because they felt abandoned by WWE back when AEW was created, and AEW tickled their fancy when it came to their style of pro wrestling, that tuned on Monday Night Raw for the first time in several years. And this was the perfect opportunity to showcase that you actually can have really good wrestling on your show mixed in with all of the sports entertainment stuff. And that this catchphrase that AEW uses, that this is where the best wrestle, is just a weak attempt for AEW to keep your attention. And they failed to put on a semi-decent wrestling match. I posted this on social media last night after Dynamite went off the air, just because I wanted to see the numbers. And both Dynamite and Raw had four matches on their show. Dynamite was a two-hour show. Raw was a little over 3 hours. Within the four matches, Dynamite had 58 minutes of wrestling. So roughly 50% of their show was wrestling. And the roughly 180 minutes that Raw was on TV, 62 minutes of wrestling. Roughly about 33%. So you had an opportunity to put on really good wrestling matches. You pushed back the debut of Penta. You pushed back the finals of the women's IC title match. And all you did was bloviate about how awesome you are that you are on Netflix. And you wasted an opportunity, in my opinion, to steal back part of the fan base that you lost. And you did it in the same way that you lost them in the first place, by abandoning what that subset of the fans wanted, which is pro wrestling, which is my biggest complaint about all of these WWE fans that sit there and say, well, the AEW is a dying company, or it's not a true competitor. For the past 6 years, they never stated that they were trying to overtake WWE or be number one. They were always meant out to be this alternative, that in a world where the big dog focuses on sports entertainment, we'll put the wrestling in pro wrestling, and we'll give you really good matches. I thought, going back to Dynamite last night, that Buddy Matthews and Will Ospreay was better than the entirety of Monday Night Raw. And their match lasted roughly 17 minutes or so. So I thought they did a better job in 17 minutes than what Raw did overall in 3 hours. Because it felt like the first match happened, and then there was 45 minutes of bloviating about all the celebrities in LA that decided to show up, and they made it seem like they paid their hard-earned money to get in, but you know that that they were put in special seating so that they can show them on camera. And, oh, look, X, Y, and Z is at this show, and it's the biggest thing on the world, but you're abandoning the wrestling. You're abandoning building new stars. Hulk Hogan and The Undertaker have to show up, but God forbid we actually put on an important wrestling match and the biggest show in the company's history in the last decade. That's just kind of my biggest takeaway from Monday night.
And those are all fair points. They are. I would say that, I thought all four matches on Raw's card were good. They kept me intrigued for the most part. And while I understand that this was more of a plant the WWE flag on the ground and kind of give more of the, you know, hey, listen, this is us. We're here. We're on Netflix. This is a big deal. I feel they could have at least showed the world champions. I mean, you know, yeah, you want to bring your top stars out, your top known acts, and I get it. I feel we could have done a better job of presenting Cody Rhodes, make him, you know, give him that entrance, give him the pyro, make him feel even more special and even more of a big deal. So if the casual fan is watching, oh, that's the world champion. Okay, well, they're treating him like a world champion. I mean, look at the entrance. Look at this. Look at that. Oh, I hear the crowd with this song. Do that for Cody. Gunther doesn't really have that kind of aura, I would say, from an entrance perspective. He's a tall guy and a big dude and presents that. It's a different aura than Cody. Heck, you could have done a backstage segment with both of them and just been like, you know, this is your world champions, do something promoting for next week type of thing. I don't know. I just feel they could have done a better job with the world champion perspective of things. My other kind of takeaways from this was The Rock kind of had that weird promo. It was more like a Dwayne Johnson promo than it was a The Rock. And then him going to NXT the next night was interesting. I don't know any other way to put it besides interesting. Some people think that, you know, Rock is not going to be at WrestleMania 41, that he was kind of saving face because of the criticism from Monday night's promo and the whole thing with going from hating Cody to liking Cody. I don't know. I think that I truly think we're getting swerved by that. I think Rock's just basically going to show up at the Rumble. We still have, you know, 3 weeks to go before the Rumble, so I don't think we're going to present everything at once. We're going to keep things as is for now. And I'm okay with them kind of pushing off the Penta debut, even though it was a great time to do that with all the new eyes that were on the product and for the finals for the women's IC championship. It gives you something that you got to promote for next week, and you got to write a show for next week. You got to, you know, keep the train rolling. So while yes, it would have been great to have all that in one show and make it even more of a stack card than it was and present these new eyes on the product with these sort of new characters and talents, gives them something to look forward to next week and maybe tune in and say, okay, well, what's this all about? Who are these people? Excuse me. And just kind of go from there. I thought, while yes, you got a lot of these established stars, Taker, Hogan, Rock, Cena. The Hogan thing I didn't understand. He didn't need to be on the card to begin with, to be honest with you. I hated for the fact that he got booed out of the building. I saw something that maybe he'll turn heel. Hogan's like 70 years old. We don't need to see a heel turn from Hulk Hogan. At this point, just keep him off TV for a while. And I mean for a while. Cool that his beers got a minority stake from WWE and they promoted the beer on the show. Fine with that. It's cool. Could have done a segment versus him being appearing in the crowd in live. Rhea getting that Undertaker rub with the pose there. That was really sick. That was really cool. I thought getting that rub from the Undertaker makes her more of a badass character, in my opinion. So I thought that was really cool. All four matches, babyfaces won. Kind of a WWE thing is that maybe sometimes, you know, with these biggest shows, you're going to kind of promote the babyfaces, the good guys, and just create a very big positive atmosphere for the show. Most eyeballs, biggest show. make the baby faces win, get the crowd really going for them. So I thought that was interesting as well. Let's see, what else did I have up here? Oh, Cena's promo was kind of cool. Him announcing Final Rumble appearance, I think we all kind of saw that coming. I'm predicting him to win the Royal Rumble. I think it'll be him and Cody at WrestleMania. That's my take. That's my opinion on it. I can see it being Rock and Cody at WrestleMania. I don't know. I think it's going to be Roman and Rock at WrestleMania for the final boss type of thing. To me, Vegas is the perfect setting for this. I don't know where they're going to be at next year, but I just feel that this is a perfect – it's shaping up to be a perfect overall atmosphere for that match. And Cena and Cody would be the same thing. Perfect opportunity, perfect scene for that final WrestleMania for Cena. Let's see, what else did we get? Two more quick points. So Punk – main events, arguably the biggest and most important Raw, I would say, in history, right? Would you say, and if you watch Triple H's post-Raw press conference, he kind of alluded to this, that the scene was kind of a WrestleMania feel all day backstage, and this thing was kind of hyped up as big of a WrestleMania, if not bigger, to be honest with you. Would you say that CM Punk main eventing the arguably the biggest and most important episode of Monday Night Raw ever was as big or bigger than a WrestleMania main event?
I honestly, in the grand scheme of things, I can't equate the two. I get that they tried to build it to be this next, like this big show. They put all their dominant cards on the picture on the table, and it was built to be like a pay-per-view or a PLE version of Monday Night Raw. But I can't equate that it's equal to WrestleMania, because WrestleMania is the top of the WWE landscape. In my opinion, while the match was probably the best match on that card, it wasn't anywhere near the mystique or intrigue, in my opinion, of what your main event of WrestleMania should lead into. Now, again, I am biased. I don't like CM Punk. I don't care for CM Punk. I think he's the biggest politician in the freaking industry, and outside of Hogan, I guess. Hey, the college football playoffs are on, so if you hear anybody screaming, it's the Notre Dame fan downstairs. Anyways, so yeah, I don't know. I feel like main eventing a Monday Night Raw, because to me this was no different than a normal version of Monday Night Raw, except it didn't lead us to developing any storyline. In fact, they like rushed to end storylines just to have baby faces win or to promote certain things. Like The Rock just, I guess, magically forgot that he had beef with Cody Rhodes and he put him over in his promo. The whole thing with Roman was just kind of weird, and it didn't lead to anything. Like, they could have led to The Rock and Roman at WrestleMania when Rock put the Uofala on Roman Reigns, but it didn't lead anywhere. So it was just in my opinion, a mediocre version of Monday Night Raw on a worldwide platform. WrestleMania to me will always be bigger than anything else.
Yeah, and that's fine. I would probably say the same thing. It's just because of the way that it set up an interesting question, because of the fact of how promoted and built up this whole, you know, show was presented as that if Punk were to never main event WrestleMania, would this be as big or even bigger than that main event spot of WrestleMania because of how big this episode of Raw was presented to be? I truthfully think that we're not done yet with Cody and, or excuse me, with Punk and Seth. I think that, I'm assuming Notre Dame just scored. Yeah, they did. I think that we're going to get Punk and Seth at Royal Rumble. And Seth's going to win, so it's going to even it up 1-1. Somehow Seth's going to go into Elimination Chamber and beat Gunther for the world title. And we get Punk and Seth for main event of night one at WrestleMania, with Punk going over and winning the world title to say that he main evented at WrestleMania. Either that or he faces Gunther for the world title WrestleMania. Either way, I think he finally does get his moment in the sun to main event WrestleMania. You know, all he had to do was just complain about it for 12 years and you finally get one. I guess that's how it works. But I thought it presented an interesting question. So my overall kind of thought of this is Raw, and more specifically WWE as a whole, it's summed up, and I think I made this point before, but it just echoes again because of how I, you know, you watch Wednesday night's Dynamite, you watch Raw, and you could tell the difference between the two products. WWE is just a sports entertainment show that features wrestling on their show, yeah. Whereas right. AEW is a wrestling show that features some sports entertainment. Nobody does sports entertainment better than WWE, and that probably aligns better with the casuals than it does for a true pro wrestling standpoint. But that's where, like we've said before, AEW is been presented as an alternative to WWE. It's not presented as a direct number one competitor. I don't think anybody will. If AEW were to change their philosophy and mindset and become more of a sports entertainment themed product, it wouldn't suit well with AEW as a brand, because I don't think that that's what they're about. And I don't think that the diehards of AEW would love that, because they got away from stuff like that to kind of get more of a pro wrestling feel of a show. And I think nobody does pro wrestling better than AEW right now. New Japan can rival that from an in-ring standpoint, but I just can't get much into the storylines of New Japan, not because it's a Japanese product. I just feel like their storylines are just kind of odd. AEW tries to do the sports entertainment stuff, not as much as WWE, of course, but I would like my shows to feature really good wrestling, kick-ass wrestling matches, but also feature some sort of sports entertainment for me to get invested into a story, to believe into a story. Why am I wanting to care about this storyline? Why am I caring about the right characters in the storyline? WWE is too much sports entertainment for my liking, but I think I'm a realist. You know, nobody's going to outdo WWE. But I think after Monday, and especially after what last night, there's obviously a clear difference and a clear ideology from the two brands as to what they represent. And that's okay. But that's obviously I think my biggest takeaway from Raw was that.
Yeah. And I think that's a big point to state is that it's a good thing that they're different. It's a good thing that WWE is this sports entertainment mega power. And I think at one point in time, Triple H even said that this isn't a pro wrestling show. This is like a movie depicting a pro wrestling show. And I guess in my eyes, if I wanted to watch someone act like they're fighting or do an action movie, like I would watch and like actual actors, because let's just be honest, WWE doesn't create the greatest actors in the world. Like, if you had to ask me, would you watch Monday Night Raw or some action movie like, I don't know, the latest Fast and the Furious movie, I would probably pick the Fast and the Furious movie, because at least there are certain elements in that movie, new scenes, new plot, or well, it's usually the same plot, but just different tweaks to it. And the cool thing about like the new vehicles and all of that, whereas WWE is just really poor acting. It's not entertaining to me. I come to watch a wrestling show for the wrestling and not necessarily the entertainment, because there are certainly better avenues of entertainment for me to watch that are more entertaining to me. And I know I mentioned this off air, but I'm a big fan of Cage Match. And I know a lot of people hate it because they feel like it's really kind of skewed to a certain biased view, but Cage Match, in my opinion, is a really good sample of what the actual wrestling fan base feels. It's almost like Rotten Tomatoes or IMDb and the entertainment world. And we're about a week out from Monday Night Raw, and the reviews on this episode are almost all the same. And again, I get it that this is probably not a big facet of, like, you're probably not a casual fan commenting on a cage match board. But like the comments are basically the same. Pacing was terrible. Every match had the same formula, too many commercials. The segments outside of the matches were just filler. Matches weren't great. And it's like, I don't know. I get it. WWE has a different model than AEW does, and that's a good thing. But it seems like the wrestling fans, at least online, were more entertained with last night's episode of Dynamite than they were with Monday Night Raw. And yes, the viewership may not show, but I think this stuff matters, because it's the actual feel of how people online understand and take in this content. And so I get it, almost to me, it feels like WWE is willing to, I guess, abandon the wants and desires of actual wrestling fans for a quick buck or the next big entertainment segment or whatever they think is quote unquote best for business. And look, I can't say that WWE is not thriving. They're the best it's been in at least a decade, but I don't know. Like, the fact that if me saying that I didn't enjoy this episode will get me a lot of hate from the WWE fans. And it's not that I hate WWE. It's just not my thing. It's not my style. And it's like, I don't know. The AEW, to me, depicts what I envision pro wrestling to be. Like, what got me back into pro wrestling was the original version of Black and Gold NXT, which is essentially what AEW is. A lot of focus on the in-ring work. I honestly could care less about whatever the story is leading into the show. Tell me a story in the ring. keep me interested in the match. And especially if I'm there live in the crowd. If I had to pay $400 to go to that episode of Monday Night Raw live, and I saw four matches that were very crappy, and the rest of the show they were bloviating to some billionaire up in the press box, like, I would have gone home pissed as fuck. Like, it really irritated me that I paid a lot of money to watch a really crappy show. And so I don't know, we got some people's in the chats here. Wavy D was talking about the 640,000 number. So yeah, that 640 number, that was just TV audience, and a specific subset of smart TVs that company is sponsored with. And it's not even like the big brands of smart TVs. They have a setting where they track everything that TV does, unless you turn off the tracking. And that's how they get their data. So it was again, just a subset of that view. It wasn't the total number. I don't think anybody ever believed that 640,000 was how many people watched. The number that Netflix provided probably is closer, which was like in America 2.6 million. My question for that is, can that be sustained? 2.6 million live when Rock doesn't show up and Undertaker doesn't show up and Hulk Hogan doesn't show up, and you actually have to promote your up-and-coming stars, are those people that haven't watched wrestling since the Attitude Era going to stay? I don't think they will. And so that was my biggest gripe with that show, is they didn't do anything to promote the up-and-coming stars. It was more of a, here are the people that got us to this point. Let's celebrate them and everybody that's going to take us further that you're going to see weekly. They just kind of forgot about. And to me, if you're not progressing your future stars, and I have a gripe with what AEW is doing with throwing Jeff Jarrett and these big stories, and like there shouldn't be anyone that's not like an avid, I guess the right word would be, like, you shouldn't have some veteran taking your main event, or legend, I guess you would use, taking your main event spot. The only time in AEW's history that I've really ever supported someone like that taking a main event spot would be like Sting for his retirement match. But like, I'm not a big fan of what they're doing with Jeff Jarrett. I don't think he needs to be anywhere near the world title picture. But Cope is going to be a full-time wrestler. So I'm okay with him having storylines with Moxley, because he's going to wrestle every week. He's going to be there every week. And yeah, he's up in age, but he's going to be there every week. So I'm cool with Cope. I'm cool with Jericho doing what he's doing. I don't like his gimmick right now, but I'm cool with Jericho being on TV, because he's there every week. I think Notre Dame might have scored again. But yeah, so I don't know. And then the Hogan thing, I don't know if WWE just like thought people would overlook the fact that Hulk Hogan did a lot of shit and has said a lot of shit that probably wouldn't fit in like one of the most liberal cities in the world, and supported Donald Trump for president and was very active and supporting Donald Trump for president, even to the point that he came out in character as Hulk Hogan at the Republican National Convention. And the fact that they thought he wouldn't get booed out of the building, the fact that he went backstage and basically threw a temper tantrum because they booed him out of the building, like, you didn't have to be Nostradamus to know that that was going to happen. Because they were booing him, out of the building on social media before he even stepped foot in the arena. So,
The only caveat I would say about that is that Taker has the same political viewpoints. He didn't show up at, you know, like Trump's rally and things like that, but he is a Republican. He had a podcast with Trump. He supported him.
Right.
But yeah, he didn't get any kind of that negative feedback either. I think Hogan's past in his full, like, I mean, his last 10, 15 years has just not been good from a brand image perspective of Hogan. And I don't mean because of the politics. I mean, go back with when his son had that really bad wreck, and that guy has been in assisted living for the rest of his life. John Garradino, I think his name was, or something like that. And had those racist comments. And then just his outlandish stuff that's happened with him over the last 10, 15 years has done him no favors. And I think people are just whatever about him. I don't know.
But to the point of Taker and like Kane and all of them having the same political views, I don't necessarily think the politics are what has really ticked people off. But even so, like, I believe Undertaker he doesn't go by Undertaker in that podcast. He goes by his real name, like Mark Calloway. And Kane, when he does his political stuff, it's under his actual name. So he's out of character, where Hulk Hogan does everything in character. He's Hulk Hogan. He promotes himself using his character. And I think that's what kind of is the difference between Hogan and all of these other people. Is he's making all of these statements as Hulk Hogan and not Terry Bollea. And so maybe people have a point that there has to be some sort of separation between character and the actual person. But when you're out there promoting yourself using your character, it's kind of hard to make that dividing line. I guess we'll end on this note. Are you going to watch Monday Night Raw next week?
I'm probably going to tune in for a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I want to see what the follow-up, at least for, I may not watch the entire show, depending on how, if it keeps my actual interest, but I want to see how they follow up from that big of a show with that much hype around it to now kind of go back to your regularly scheduled programming where there's not all of those big talent names and things like that. And you're kind of getting back to your storylines and your development of your characters and your stories leading up to the Rumble and leading up to WrestleMania season. I'll probably watch it for a little bit just to kind of see what it looks and feels like. I'm sure the production, I'm not worried about that, but just from a show flow, from a storyline perspective, what the matches look like, character development. I'm probably going to watch a little bit just to kind of see what it feels like the week after that big of a show.
Right. I'll probably tune in because I want to see Penta. If it's actually him, they haven't officially confirmed it with Penta, but it was weird. I think they botched what they wanted to do with him because they showed that like little vignette where it said Penta. So like people know he's coming. And then they ran that weird promo with Chad Gable and Adam Pearce. So I have a feeling it's Penta, but knowing WWE, they have people's attention that they think it's going to be Penta, and they're probably going to drag it out for like 2/3 of the night to get people to watch, and then Gable will come out and it's someone like Dragon Lee or something like that, and it's not Penta, and then that'll piss a whole lot of people off. But I'll probably tune in to see if Penta shows up. I kind of am interested in the Lyra Valkyra and Dakota Kai IC finals match. So maybe their tactics work and they're going to get me to watch the entire episode next week. I don't know. I'll probably have it on, but I probably won't be paying a whole lot of attention to what's going on unless they do something outside of the box to grab my attention. But yeah, and then we'll end with this. We were complaining last week that AEW wasn't doing anything for the Australia show, but we get a match next week at Maximum Carnage, a women's gauntlet match for the number one contender spot for that show for the women's title. I have a feeling we're going to get maybe one, at least one, but maybe two debuts of two new women in that show that might get a rub to fight Mariah May at that Australia show. One being an Australian herself by the name of Indy Hartwell. I think her 90 days are up. And the second being Megan Bain, if she ever decides to frickin' show up. They've been saying that she's going to show up for like a year and a half now, and no, it's never happened. So I'm interested for that for Dynamite. But any last thoughts before we head off the air, my friend?
That'd be interesting to see if either one of those show up and appear. I'm glad we're finally promoting that we have a pay-per-view next month, even though we don't have the Minitron showing it or even one of the banners hanging up in the arena. We went to Collision this past Saturday in Charlotte. Pretty good show, I thought, overall, and didn't see any banners for that. Didn't have any promotion for it. I don't get it. But I'm glad we're promoting it, at least on television, a month ahead of time. That's nice. At least we're getting a month build up for a show overseas like that.
Now we need more of it.
And we need a full press court on it is what we need, because it's an actual pay-per-view that's going to happen next month in a new market. Mm-hmm. You better make this feel more important than whatever you're doing now, because this is, it's pretty bad management of whatever they're doing for it. It should be interesting to kind of see what happens next week with that Women's Casino Gauntlet. Interesting to see kind of what's going to be happening with the next few weeks if we get more matches and more stuff announced for Grand Slam Australia. Hobbs versus Moxley for the world title. That's interesting. Hobbs getting a pretty big push here since he's come back over the last month, month and a half. Pretty quick push, I would say, as well.
The fun thing with that was Moxley was the guy that injured Hobbs.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And that's it's got some precedent for sure, which is nice. So it's not just a random thrown together match. There is some of that history there beforehand, so I'm okay with that for sure.
And then Kenny and Brian Cage going to be interesting. That's a match Brian Cage had been asking Tony Khan for 5 years now, so they finally got that match put together. I think it'll be a good show for AEW next week. I'm interested to see what Raw does. Wavy Deep had thrown two quick questions, or I guess trivia questions, in the chat. I'm going to share them for you. Let's see if we can get these. I think I have the answer for one of them, but this first one I have no idea. On this day in 1993, Bret Hart and Ric Flair competed in WWF's first ever insert match type at a live event in Boston.
Again, let me have a couple guesses with this. The first guess I would have, just by giving me the two superstars' name, the first thing that comes to mind is a submission match. That would be my first guess, is if it was a submission match. Is that correct, Wavy D? I guess we'll have to wait, unless you want to look up the answer and tell me. I don't know.
1993. Boston. Iron Man match.
Iron Man. Okay. All right. He got me on that one. Very good.
And then
I don't even know what my second guess would have been. I said two guesses and you didn't let me have the second guess, but I don't even know what the second guess would have been.
And then the second one, I think this is easy. On this day in 2006, these two individuals had a live sex celebration on Monday Night Raw to celebrate their championship win. I think we all know where this is leading.
Well, that would be Mr. Couldn't rise to the occasion, Adam Copeland, Edge himself, and Lita. One of the highest rated segments in Raw history. That was pretty good. Edge and Lita. Very interesting how that happened. Good trivia questions. I like that. Keep them coming every now and then. Definitely keeps me on my toes. He got me with one already. He got me with that that Flair and Bret Hart match. So kudos to him on that. Listen, we ain't got to do it on the show since we're past the 10 o'clock hour, but your brother's quiz, you need to do it. I think you'll.
Yeah, I'll do it. But it'll probably be this weekend.
I did one as well, so maybe you maybe we could do that next week on the show. Do one for us, the one I did. But yeah, no, that's pretty good. Yeah, that's all the thoughts I got. Go Commanders! Hail to the Commanders! That's all I got.
Yes, sir. NFL playoffs this week, but y'all, we'll see you next week here on the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. I am Junkyard James. That is Cody Marinara. And like he always says to end the show,
everybody needs to, especially with as cold as it's about to be, you need to get some homemade sauce. Enjoy it. Stay saucy, friends. Stay saucy.
Stay saucy. Links in the description. Like, comment, and subscribe. And we'll see y'all next week. Beyond the